Welcome to Season 2 of Dead Tribe Paranormal with hosts John Sharena and Kelly Gilbert. Produced by Dan Gilman. You can listen to our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and our website at echopodmedia.com. Also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Do you have a story that you'd like to share? If so, you can email me at DannyEcho@echopodmedia.com. This is EchoPod Media.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. I'm Kelly.
And I'm John.
And we are happy today to be talking to Greg Bakken of Minnesota Ghost Box. He is a paranormal investigator. That's his team. He also has a web series coming out and a couple of podcasts, radio shows, too. So we're going to get into all of that. How are you doing tonight, Greg?
I am awesome. Thank you very much. How are you?
We're good.
Very
happy to
well,
be here.
Well. Good.
So we were mentioning it's your birthday coming up, so happy birthday coming up.
Thank you so much.
Happy 22nd.
Right, exactly. Now it keeps getting younger. I like it.
Yeah.
And yours is going to land on a weekend, which is really sweet.
I'm looking forward to that. I may or may not celebrate appropriately for that. No, I will celebrate appropriately for that.
I think you should. I was telling them, so like the first time we ever talked and I Facebooked you, you know, you had wrote a post about like grilling and then something about whiskey and like staying up late. And like the first thing I did, I wrote to him and I'm like, we're kin. Like, you are my people. I think we're going to have a lot in common and be like best of friends.
Yeah, I love to grill and I love to drink and they both work pretty well together.
They
so,
really
yeah,
do.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I bartend, so I love to invent drinks.
Oh, yeah.
And then drink them. So.
Matter of fact, we're having a drink right now.
So are we. We meaning me. I have no friends.
There you go.
So.
Nice. So, so the first question, of course, you know, what got you interested in the paranormal in the first place? I know you didn't have like the typical, I'm a kid and I see a ghost story. So what got you interested?
You know, that's just it. You know, for so long, I had not really even given it much thought. And, you know, even up to maybe about 15 years ago or something like that, that I remember watching like some paranormal shows that were around at the time, you know, long time ago. Like there, I still remember one of their ways of trying to catch evidence is that they buried this overweight guy in a coffin and they had like a small camera in there. And I was like, what on earth is this? Why would anyone care about this? And then jump ahead a few years, and then I started to watch these shows, and I'm like, the technology is actually catching up to where, to me, it's making sense. It's finally like, oh, wow, this makes sense, that we could actually do this and not have to be buried in a coffin. So I started watching more, and then immediately my sights went to the Spirit Box. When I was watching, and I admit it, I'm actually a big Ghost Adventures fan. I liked watching it, and I think it's fun. But they were the first people I saw using a spirit box. I'm like, ooh, I gotta get my hands on one of these.
Right.
We ended up buying one just at work, of all places, because someone else that I knew was really into trying it. And we ended up going down to the basement of where I work. It's an old building in downtown Minneapolis that goes back to 1916. It's going to be 100 years old this year.
Oh, wow.
And we did some stuff. And right away, I got responses right away. I just got a whole evening's worth of responses, intelligent responses. And my hope was to make a web series for the advertising agency I work for as part of content, because we always try to do content. And one reason or another, it didn't work out, which was fine. And then maybe about a year or so later, I started to have dreams about investigating. Every night, every single night, I had dreams. I kept dreaming and dreaming and dreaming about it. It was powerful. It wasn't scary by any means. It wasn't like anything creepy. It's just like, I need to get out there. I need to get out there. And finally, I started doing it. And then when I started to do investigations by myself, I what I really wanted to do was document it and tell a story. And what ended up happening was I created these, what I now call audio investigations, that are on my site. And it's like a podcast, but it's actually the investigation in audio form instead of having any cameras, because I didn't have any. And so it's all the Spirit Box stuff. It's the people I talked to, the stories that they had to tell. And it's kind of like NPR's This American Life, in a sense, because it tells a story of the people and the spirits that are there. It's actually relatively interesting.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. So then how did you form your actual group? It's you and another girl.
Yeah, that podcast became, I called that Minnesota Ghost Box. And then I ended up doing presentation at work. I work for an advertising agency in downtown Minneapolis. And the whole idea of working in one of these agencies, if you're working for the right one, is about creativity of beyond just the clients you're working with, but the but yourself. Mm-hmm. And so we do these little presentations that it's simply about yourself, something interesting about yourself. So I decided about a year ago to do one about what I'm doing with my paranormal investigating by myself. And I played a bunch of Spirit Box evidence, and I kind of thought people would be like, oh, you're kind of weird and creepy, just as what we always thought. But now we have proof. And what ended up happening was the crowd, which was about 100 people watching this, they just went wild for it. I never expected people would be really interested in anything I would have to say, to be honest, but let alone about the paranormal. I thought they'd challenge me on it. I thought I'd play evidence and they'd be like, that sounds nothing like what you just said.
Yeah.
So I was really concerned, but it was amazing. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life, actually, because it was awesome. Just perfect. Jump forward a couple months, they do a grant at work where they're like, hey, we want to give away $5,000 to somebody who always had a dream to do something. You just have to write up about it and submit. And then from everyone who put in their proposal, one will win. About a day before it's due, I sat down like, you know what? I should just give this a shot because, you know, I can write pretty well. I mean, you know, let's just see what happens. I put it in and I won.
Wow. That's awesome.
And the proposal was just to do a web series. And I had no idea what I was going to do. I had nobody involved. And it was actually very frightening. It was like you win and you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you're like, and I do what now?
Yeah.
I don't have a camera of any kind. I don't have people.
You have $5,000.
Right. Well, I have, and I had no friends. And I had nobody in the paranormal. I had nobody
right,
in the
now
paranormal
you have $4,000.
I knew. Yeah, now I could buy them. But what ended up happening was I started to involve myself in the local paranormal scene in Minneapolis, which is an amazing scene. It's the amazing people, good people, people who want to help. And that's where I ended up meeting a few people. One of them was Nicole, who is this intuitive healer. She is a Reiki master. She is one of these people that is a very gentle soul, big, gentle heart that just really wants to help people. And her idea of the paranormal aligned with my idea of the paranormal, which is it's the saying we have for Minnesota Ghost Box is that it's not our story, it's their story. Because I feel far too many people in the paranormal community, and I'm just, you know, just from what I'm seeing across the country, across the world, people want to make themselves the stars of this stuff. And for us, it's about where we're going, who we're talking to, and how can we help people. It's not about, it doesn't have to be scary. Yeah, we do run into dark stuff, but it doesn't have to be that way. Our visions aligned with each other, and that was a big step forward to being like, okay, I think I have an idea what we're going to do, and then we just got on with it. We did it.
Nice.
That's just like the craziest ever. We're never going to hear that again. Like, I won ghost hunting from work. That's crazy.
It is crazy, and there is not a day that goes by at that place where somebody doesn't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
You know, not even about the web series, just about, hey, have you been anywhere lately? Do you, I mean, we shoot for the web series, but we do a ton of investigations that go beyond it, because there's often private places that we go to, or people invite us, but it's not about us shooting stuff, it's about us doing stuff. And the thing that I've attached to, I've always stuck with, is the spirit box, and I've been very lucky to get a lot of very decent responses from it.
Yeah, as far as the work finding out that you were into that, they didn't know before. So I'm assuming once they found out, you said you got a lot of questions. I think that happened with myself, where you find out who's actually interested in it, or they'll just call you a kook.
Yeah, and I expected people to call me a kook. I really did. I really expected someone to be like, you know, challenging me, like, what would you, you know, how would you prove to me that this exists? You know, that sort of like question line. And it's like, I was all ready to be like, I don't have to prove anything to you, go to hell and all this stuff. And what ended up happening is just that, you know, I'm done. I'm like, any questions? And like, everybody's hand raised.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh boy, now what? And they're just like smart, intelligent questions. And, it's very easy to see why that was such a big impact on me. That was just like, suddenly it was confirmation, really, for me that this is the right way to go. Because in my mind, people who work in advertising, including myself, are some of the most cynical people you'll ever find in your life. And that's, you know, I can say that because I'm there. I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's just, you know, the fact that they're all behind me, and they still are all behind me, is phenomenal. It's just way too cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So which ghost boxes have you used? Because there's tons out there. We did an interview with Tim Woolworth last season, who I know you've interviewed him too.
Yep.
You know, he went over the whole history of it and everything. And so what do you like?
And it's funny because Tim Woolworth is an absolute expert. He forwards the field and everything. I am somebody who uses it. You know, there's a difference.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what I've been using, what I started using, because it was available and, you know, you learn along the way, is the PSB7, right? And
probably common one.
Absolutely. And there's so many people who are like, ooh, I don't like the white noise. I don't like this. I don't like that. To me, the words that I want to hear float above the white noise. Like, to me, there is no problem hearing stuff on there. And I've gotten, you know, a lot of the stuff we'll hear tonight is from the PSB7. Only recently have I started getting into the hacks, you know, getting some shack hacks. I've been getting a couple different models. I got a Sangene that we're going to play something tonight, which is one of my all-time favorite responses, which unfortunately that spirit box disappeared. I got what we call an Andres box, and it's just this big old-time radio-looking thing that is just a beautiful piece of work. It's very big, but I've gotten some, once again, incredible responses from it. I've been finding, and I've been very happy with that, literally everything that I'm trying ghost box-wise, I've been having about the same type of responses and luck with. And like the Andres box, I sent it back to Andre. Funny enough, his name is Andre, and he built it. He calls it the Andre box. And he listened to he watched a video that I was going to release, and now I'm not going to release. And he saw the response, and he's like, "You're really connected to that box." And I'm like, honestly, and this sounds really egotistical, I've been connected to basically every box that I touch. I'm more of a investigator from the heart than a scientific investigator. I'm just connecting as best as I can.
So what are some of the differences then with, say, the SB7 and Frank's box? Is there different mechanisms? Is one cut the mute wire, one doesn't, different sweep modes and all that?
You know, I think, I obviously Tim knows more than that. I think for me, the biggest thing that people talk about, and I think the sweep rate's very different. I want to say, and I could be horribly wrong, that the PSP 7 may offer a little bit faster sweep rate, and you certainly can adjust that. And I don't know, like, obviously a lot of these hacks are radios, and you don't always get a chance to adjust sweep rates, or you can go backwards on some of these, which is kind of nice. But I think the biggest thing that people run into is they don't like that white noise, where a lot of the hacks just are picking up the channels, mm-hmm. and it's not that you know, that constant sort of thing. It's somewhat even mute in a way, and then what they can hear comes through. I personally, like I said, I like the white noise. It doesn't bother me at all, but it's fun to kind of be trying all these different boxes. And like, I try not to use them at home, because that's bad news. I've been told stop it, but sometimes I turn it on just to make sure it works, and literally as soon as I turn it on, I can hear hello.
Oh, God.
I've done that many times. It's just like, and then I have to say hello back. Because you got to be, nice. Yeah. It's you don't want to be rude, right? I mean, it's just rude not to say hello back to somebody.
It's an invitation, though.
One day I turned it on. This was back in June. I was just making sure the batteries work and stuff, and it was after my dad died, and I just wanted to turn it on, and literally just words were coming out of, it was just a PSP 7, and it's like, I got to shut this off. Wow. You know, it's just a lot. And we never have problems getting responses.
Does that one, the PSP 7, does that hit radio stations too, or is it just white noise?
Nope, it hits radio stations too. Absolutely. And it goes the FM and AM dial. You can do both. And they also have the PSP 11, which is that dual spirit box that you can have them go two separate channels, going AM or FM, FM or FM, and all whatever, going up and down, down and up at the same time or simultaneously, however you want to do it. That one, I will admit, I've not had a great deal of experience with. I find that it's actually feels very cheap to me, and I feel like if just touching it, I'm going to break it. So I know that a lot of other people have had luck with it. I've also had luck with stuff like the Echovox. I use that on occasion, especially when I'm you know, caught in a situation where I don't have a spirit box, but I want to talk to somebody. You know, you turn that on your phone or something, and that works really well too.
Mm-hmm. The Echovox is on your phone?
Yes, I have it as, because that's just an app.
Oh,
and
okay.
They've updated it quite a bit since I've just kept the same, like one of the early releases. But we were out in Cincinnati. We're getting ready to go across the river to do a shoot over in Kentucky, and we were at the hotel one night. Instead of grabbing all of our equipment, which was still in the car in the parking ramp, I just took out the phone, and we were in this one empty area of the hotel, not expecting much, and all of a sudden just get out. Okay. So I was like,
that's a common saying from these guys,
isn't it?
get out.
Well, I've been told that all my life, just mostly yeah. by humans.
But. Yeah, yeah, same here, Greg.
Female humans.
Yeah.
So is the Echovox, is that a free app, or you have to pay for that?
Nope, it's a pretty expensive app, actually. It's about $20, at least when I got it was. But the thing is, it's not like a lot of the other, you know, quote, ghost apps out there. This is done by people who are, you know, forwarding the ITC research, and they're checking out, they're testing it, you know, they're constantly reworking it. And other people are doing other apps that I haven't really experienced yet. You know, you also have like the Huff Paranormal SCD1 app that you do for your tablet. I think it's an Android tablet, and I've tried that, and I have to admit I've not had any luck with that personally. But at that point, I'm just kind of like, I have these great spirit boxes. I don't need to have something come out of all of them, because this stuff is working just fine for me.
Greg, right. have you tried the Ghost Radar? Because I find these green blobs everywhere I go. On the Ghost Radar.
How about the one that tells you how many ghosts are in the room?
Yeah,
at any
yeah,
given
and they're telling you the words that they're saying, but they're just green blobs. Some are red, and I don't know what that means yet. But
it means angry.
Angry.
There
yeah.
you go. The, like, the things you would expect. The green means that money is coming towards you.
Oh, geez. Look at all these ghosts.
Are the yeah. app ones going through radio signals too, or is that just white noise? Like, are there any that are just white noise?
I don't know of any that are just white noise. Some of the apps will go through internet radio stations. and that's fine. But those are ones I don't have a lot of luck with.
That's our Echo audience.
The Echo Box is actually, that might be closest to what you're talking about. I mean, it's not necessarily white noise, but it is, you know, you're hearing yourself, you're asking questions, and it's echoing, and it's, I think it's like picking up the energy from that, and it's you know, resonating and creating, you know, just responses. I've just screwed that up completely, but believe me, it actually works very, very well. But there is, you know, they call it Echo Box, and, you know, sometimes you're hearing yourself asking that question over and over and over again because it's echoing through all these different channels and whatnot.
Huh. I learned something new. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, I like the SP7. That's what we used to use. And I always found it easier to get responses, and I would go in reverse.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. And I don't know why that is, but then again, it makes sense, I guess. I mean, in the radio stations, people used to say, well, how do you know it's not radio? Well, the last time I checked, there was no curse words on the radio.
And keep in mind, too, that I think it's 13 channels that it goes through every second.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, it's depending on what your sweep rate is. And generally for FM, I've been going the fastest rate and then going reverse.
Yep.
And that's been working really well for me. And you know, one of my favorite compliments that I received, because when I went to my first paranormal event with the Minnesota community, and it was this really cool thing called the Paranormal Affair in Faribault, Minnesota, and I went out there, and I'm just, you know, this like, hey, I do the spirit box, and they're all like, we don't, you know, and they're all like, it doesn't work, and I'm like, for the last 3 years I've been using it wonderfully, like from day one.
Yeah.
And so I, since then, I've gone on some investigations with these people, these groups, and we went on one, and we were there for about 35 minutes just getting answer. And afterwards, one of the team members looked at me, and they're like, you know, normally we shut this thing off after 5 minutes because we don't get anything. I'm like, yeah, well, that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, go home. They're like, go, get out of here.
That was arrogant. Just
time
go.
For you to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, just go
who,
home,
who
buddy.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Do you think it's voices even when it's over music? I mean, because I'll hear that sometimes. And I don't, like, if there's music behind it, I feel like that was just the radio. But then I'll hear people like, no, this, I don't know. They just, like, won't agree with that.
I think there's two things that are happening here. I think that you can either get direct responses from spirits. So you get their voices and whatnot. You also get where I think spirits can manipulate to be able to pick up the songs and stuff and the music that helps answer the question that they're being asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, you hear that once in a while, or, you know, it just lines up well. And I think some can argue, well, that's coincidence, but, you know, there isn't always such a thing as coincidence. So I think that that happens. And I feel safer saying that too, because really, all my stuff is not that way, but I've heard it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my stuff seems to be actual, like, responses that to me are generated from some actual spirit, not necessarily a manipulation of the radio itself.
Oh, okay. And we're going to listen to a bunch of them in a bit. One thing I wanted to ask you, I've heard you say and other people say, you know, that practice will make it better. And I mean, in a way, like, it makes sense. You practice something, you'll get better. But when I think of practicing, I think, like, if you want to be a better swimmer, then yes, you know, you get stronger, you get your muscle memory, you get better. With this, I mean, you're just sitting there with a noise machine. So, like, how do you think practice makes it better?
So, you know, it's, I guess it depends on what your ideology of what you're doing in the paranormal and how you apply that. And I'll tell you mine, and others might just totally disagree with this. Like I said earlier, I tend to investigate with my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there was a place that we would go to that was tours of a very old area of Minneapolis. And Nicole had worked there, and we would every weekend we would go there, and I'd bring my spirit box. And part of it is not only just talking to the spirit box, but for me to get myself into trance is a very stupid word for it, but get my mind clear so I can open myself up and let the spirits know that I'm there and I'd like to talk to them. And And, you know, it's that's the practice for me. That's okay. The practice is being able to make myself aware of what's going on and be able to, you know, sometimes see who I'm talking to and see that, you know, it's one of those things where you don't see like something physical, but you know that they're there.
Yeah, right.
And I do it all the time, more and more, especially since I've met Nicole, since I started talking to more mediums and stuff, that that's my practice. I'm developing that a lot more, and I'm seeing things that I haven't seen before. And that's the part, and I'm applying it back to the spirit box. I think people who the ideology is very different for me. If people are just going in there, turning on the box, and they're just asking questions, maybe they'll get an answer, maybe they don't, and they turn it off. For me, it's more of like the prep, the mental preparation going in there. You start off by explaining to them who you are, what you're going to do, what they're going to hear, what, you know, we'd like to hear. We start asking questions. And then when we're done, we do like a cool down. You know, it's like, we're going to shut this down, you know, and I give them a countdown every time when I'm going to shut down. That way, it's not just like, it's like being on the phone. I'm not just going to hang up on somebody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Unless you're in a movie.
I think Tim did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, where he would at the end count down and say, okay, I'm getting ready to shut it off. Is there anything more you need to say?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know that there's days when if I go out to investigation, I haven't had a chance to kind of really get myself into any sort of a mindset to actually talk to spirits and stuff. Like I'll be rushing or whatever, and I can tell there's a difference in the quality of responses. I mean, to me, it's very clear. And there was one that we did. There's this place called the Soap Factory in St. Anthony, Maine, which is an old part of Minneapolis, and it's this wonderfully old building that's just overcrowded with spirits. It's just fantastic. And I knew that it was a rough day for me. I had to get things ready, and we're going to shoot that night. We're going to shoot interviews and stuff. But they're like, we want to investigate a little bit. Do you have your spirit box? I'm like, yes, I do. And, you know, some people will, before they start the investigation, have like 10 minutes of silence just to be acclimated with the noises and stuff in the room. I did one just because I knew I needed just to focus and concentrate. I mean, I didn't listen to anything. I was just kind of like preparing myself because I knew if otherwise there wouldn't be anything. And we ended up getting some pretty amazing responses that night.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's probably one of my favorite tools is the spirit box, but you do, there's people that don't even want to hear it. Even if
isn't
you do
it? Yeah, there is. That's true. Right. I was at Paracon in Detroit Lakes this year, and I was talking to some people who are very nice people, but I was talking to them, like, the stuff I'm doing, spirit box and stuff. You get to see on their face. It's just like,
oh, great. Boy, here we are, another one.
Yeah, and I gave them my card. I'm like, take a listen to the evidence, and they're like, sure. And I'm like, okay. just give me the card back. It costs money. If you're not going to use it, that's fine.
Even the shows, I think Ghost Adventures actually is probably the only show that uses the spirit box.
I think you're right.
But I mean, but Ghost Hunters will use the Ghost Hunters app.
Ah.
So go. Oh. You know, so.
How does that work for them?
Yeah, I don't know. As well as my Green Blob app.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I like them more than I don't really like the ones that have the pre-recorded words in them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, like the obelisk?
Yeah.
I tried that. And I mean, there was things that were popping up that were kind of what we were asking, but I'm like, there's too many questions when it comes to this, and I ended up selling it.
It's just weird, though. Like, yeah. Even if you're a ghost, like, you have to know the frequency of this weird-ass machine.
Yeah.
That's in the 21st century.
They come up
with
so many different things. And
yeah.
Would you say, you were explaining how you kind of get in the mindset, would you say it's almost like a meditation before you go in where you're just relaxed?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it is.
Okay. So, and you're ready to, ask questions and receive them?
Absolutely. There's like a certain tone of my body.
Yeah,
I feel, and it's like I've said it to Nicole many times. Like I'll look at her, and I'm just like, okay, I'm ready. You know, it's just like it moves it all away, and just which I find very interesting because I'm not a big meditation person in the sense that it's hard for me to kind of unwind. Mm-hmm. So doing that is just, you know, and it's literally I'm for me, it's I'm talking to the spirits I know I want to talk with. You know, especially if I'm going to a place where I know some names, yeah. I'll reach out to them. And, you know, at least it feels like that I'm getting, that's making me feel good.
That's cool.
Do you have any spirits that you think are following you that show up again at investigations over and over?
Possibly. And this is kind of goes in my rule of, I hate talking kind of about myself on these things, you know, about these, because it's always about other things. But yeah, I think there was for a while. Sometimes I wonder now if that's something. And one of the things that I've not been good about, but I do need to do again, is I do very much believe in the whole idea of the Reiki, you know, as the energy cleansing.
Yeah.
And that helps a great deal. You know, I've, especially as of late, I've taken protection a lot more seriously, just because you know when something's not quite right, and you know when there's just, it doesn't mean that you're seeing dark shadows all over the place. You just know about yourself that it's not, something's just off.
Yeah. I mean, we've said that before. That's a normal human instinct, you know? I mean, there's been studies of people that have been, you know, robbed or, you know, had some crime committed, and they've asked, like, did you have a feeling something bad was going to happen? And they're like, yeah. And it's not some crazy psychic thing. You felt energy from the perpetrator. I mean.
Yeah.
So
very much so. And I don't know. I mean, it was very, very obvious. And, you know, the funny thing is I keep getting, I have a very close friend. His name's Robert. And I keep getting his name. I haven't for a while, but for a while I was getting his name constantly in spirit boxes, like Robert, you know, just all throughout the thing. And it's a good name because it's a good two syllable name. And I always say, if you can get a word that's more than one syllable, you're doing pretty well.
Yes.
So
I, you know, I always say that I hate one syllable. It's just like, it's not a word to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no yet high, but
yeah, it's very tough to confirm that. So yeah, and so I kept getting Robert, and part of me had wondered is like, is my spirit guide named Robert? You know, maybe it's just,
oh,
I
yeah.
know, you know, but it's, who knows? I've never really actually followed up on that. Not surprisingly, really, I don't follow up on a lot. So.
Hey, do you have any opinions on whether the living people can come through, and, you know, people practicing lucid dreaming and then come through on a spirit box?
I don't know. I've never thought about that. Someone asked me once too, if like, are we hearing aliens?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I mean, why couldn't we? And same with lucid dreaming. Why couldn't we, really? And, you know, the thing about the thing about like the lucid dreaming or even the alien idea is like, I'd kind of be disappointed because I kind of want to talk to spirits. But I mean, if it is them, who knows? I mean, I always personally hold the belief that, who am I to say what is and what isn't? Because I don't know it all. I don't know any of that. I know we're trying to figure it out, but we don't know anything, really.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I read somewhere is like, someone was posting something about orbs, and I don't really have an opinion one way or the other, but someone wrote, in my team, if I see a picture of two orbs, we throw it out immediately because orbs never travel in pairs. All right, I guess I missed the memo about how orbs work.
I don't remember ever hearing that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. People make up their own stuff. It's like, I understand that you don't want to fall for everything and you have to be very diligent to make sure, but it's like, once you start creating your rules, then really what's the point?
Right? Rules are for drinking games, not paranormal research.
Right.
So shall we hop into some of these awesome voice box recordings you've captioned and sent us?
Oh, I think so, for sure.
Absolutely.
I think so.
All right, here we go.
Thank you. Our applause. Introducing.
Oh, wow. All right, we're ready to get started. All right,
evidence
everybody sit
obtained.
Down. Sit
okay.
down.
Sit down.
Thank you, thank you, thank
Greg
you.
Greg has stuff he'd like to share.
And let me start this by saying one of them, if you do not like curse words, please turn your volume down.
Because we're not editing that out.
Yeah, we're not editing this out.
By the way, does it sound like what I think it says? Did you listen to it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
a couple times. So the first one is... kind of a typical response. Yeah. So what's the story behind the first EVP? Where are you? And
this is a private residence, and this is using a Sanjean hack. I mean, Sanjean's just a radio from the 1990s, and it's been hacked. So this is the first time I've ever used anything other than like a PSB7, and this is the first response that I ever got.
Play it again.
Time. So what does that sound like to you?
See, I was thinking runaway.
Runaway.
And Greg?
Oh, to me it's go away.
Yeah. I mean, you could be right too. Yeah. Again, I you've heard it a lot more than I have, so but that's pretty clear.
It is. And where it is, it makes me think that it very well could be go away.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but you know, that's the thing about it. I mean, what makes me happy about it is that, you know, when someone's not like, yeah, I hear nothing, but if you hear, I hear away, and I think it might be run, and I think it might be go, I mean, at least we're in the, you know, in the same area,
right?
On it.
Ghosts need to stop being squatters. Like, I'm sorry, you died.
Go away. Like,
yeah. Till death do us all part, you go away.
The next one would be how many spirits. So this is the same session, and you know, I ask a question of how many spirits in the room, and I get what I call a sarcastic response. But this is also one of those where I actually feel like it's not manipulating the station in terms of a song or anything, but it's not a straightforward answer. It's like, it feels like to me it's taking the airwaves and it's creating the answer.
All right. So you're asking spirit, how many of them are there? And it's kind of like John's green and red blobs just taking over the whole scene.
By the way, we have 3 green blobs in the room as we speak.
So here's how many they had, allegedly.
Can I get a number of how many spirits are in this room with me right now? Can I get a number of how many spirits are in this room with me right now?
So it's like that last little word. So, yeah. So Dan said, what did you hear?
Millions.
Absolutely, right?
That was pretty good.
I see what you're saying, though. So, yeah, that one like is kind of over music. Like,
yep. It's millions. Hard sometimes.
Millions of ways to lose my dog and my cat and my wife and my truck.
And I think after doing it, I found after using it for a while, you're able to distinguish, you know, voices to the radio a little easier. When I had first picked it up, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, but then you start hearing the curse words. You're like, oh.
And that's why you have to go back and that's why you have to record them. That's why you have to go back and listen to them, because you only pick up like 10-20% of what's actually being said.
Yeah, I mean, and Greg, to be honest, that's Dan's job. I would just go out there with the box. Dan would record it and edit it and send it back to me.
Yeah, no, and that's either the most frustrating part of the investigation or the best part, depending on how the day goes.
He honestly hated using a spirit box, but we loved it. He just, because he knew that it was going to be hours of trying to figure out what it was and clipping it.
It's so harsh to listen to through headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then slowing it down and hoping that, or backwards, maybe. Does it sound like something backwards? And no, it doesn't. And
Yeah, I personally only used one once because I was out with another group. A couple people from my group met up with another group, and they use it a lot. And I don't think we caught too much at that time.
All right, so what are we doing next?
All right, so the next one is explicit.
It is explicit, and this is I just love this because it's a woman who was offended either by us being there. We're at a place called St. Anthony, Maine. Like I mentioned earlier, it's an old part of St. Anthony. That's actually where Minneapolis started. It's the oldest part of Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
And whatever I was asking, or the fact that we're there, and it's obviously not the first time I was sworn at, but to me, this is a very, just a very angry response, and I love it.
All right, so here we go. Hear it one more time. So maybe she thinks you're a cop because it sounds like she's saying, F you, pig.
Yeah. Or just maybe, you know, I've never thought about the idea, like, we could be like a cop or something. And I also kind of wondered if, like, she thought we were chauvinists or something. I mean, yeah, who knows? I mean, it could be any of that.
Yeah, probably more chauvinist. I was just being sarcastic, but.
Kelly, can you play that again?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
So, yep. That sounds like the whole word. So, one more time.
Was she a smoker?
All right. I should go back and ask.
Oh, yeah. All jokes aside, I mean, she went from, you know, a soft little and then pig.
Yeah, just pig.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Wow. I don't know what I did. I apologize.
If you have to ask, you'll never know, Greg. So, that's how those women are.
Where was that one again? I missed that.
That was at St. Anthony, Maine, just in one of the old buildings place. Yeah.
Is this a next one in a private residence?
It is. No, actually, this is actually in, I put down private building, but it's actually where I work. It's in the basement of the old building that I work. And the building is from 1916. And I didn't include the Echovox version because we did some spirit box and we did some Echovox. But this is from a spirit box and it's just one of those very simple, what's your name? And you get what I think is a very clear response.
All right.
What's your name?
That was really clear.
Yeah, so that last little thing, so.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Dave. So what did we hear?
Dave.
Yeah. Which, incidentally, is the name of my cat that you're looking at.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
Dave on the Skype paper.
You know, I hate to break the news to you, but he has not moved since we turned this on.
Well, he did die 4 years ago, so it's very possible.
I'd
be
so
more surprised
sorry.
If he did.
Oh, I am joking. Wow. All right, I'm sorry. Hey, let's take a moment, please.
Per day. So what's next on the list?
I have six people killed in Villisca. So this is, I consider, a very incredible piece of evidence. We were at Villisca, and I don't know if you, the next one on my list is, I call it The Name.
Yep.
Okay, because that's also from Villisca. This one basically is, we were in a room, and it's my first time, it was like the early session of Spirit Box in there. And it's one of the two things I really heard that night. And it just, you know, I said, I'm looking for a name. And the response is six people killed. We're still looking for a name. Give us a name. Six people killed. That's what this just said.
Six people killed?
Killed. Yeah, and so I heard that like right away. And one of the interesting things is my voice afterwards, because you could just hear I'm actually sick to my stomach. It sounds like I'm sick to my stomach when I repeat it. I said, did you hear that? It's six people killed. Six people killed. That's what this just said.
Six people killed.
Killed. You know, just it's like I forgot about this this piece of evidence for about a year or so, and then Vicky from the Minnesota Spirit Society, who I went with, she sent it to me, and as soon as I heard, I'm like, I forgot all about that, and it just kind of made me sick again. It was just a really, really just matter of fact, six people killed.
Yeah, and so Villisca House, which I want to ask you about, you know, later on too, because about your web series and stuff. But Villisca House is the axe murder house.
Yes,
and that's in Iowa. It's been on so many shows.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is that's eight people killed in Villisca, but yet this says very clearly six people killed. And when after, and that's children though. There's six, I think there was six children killed.
Yeah, that's what went through my head, because the two parents were killed,
mm-hmm.
their four kids, and then two other little girls that were sleeping over that night.
Yep. And so what happens is, even after that, when I'm still talking, you can hear in the background yet again, it sounds like it's starting over. Like, you can hear six people again. It's like it was said more than once, and it's very chilling. Very chilling. Horrible.
Probably one of your best, you say, you ever got.
It's one of the most creepiest, for sure. The next one to me is actually the creepiest. I think it's pretty, these are pretty clear. I mean, we've heard clearer, but yeah. I think to me that these are very, they're very much on. And the next one is one that's going to probably stick with me for a very long time, actually.
And this one's the name.
The name, and I call it the name because I don't like to write the name anywhere or whatever. I don't mean to be overly dramatic about it, but we were one of the few times that I provoked was at Villisca. We were up in the attic because I don't know what you guys know, like seen the layout of the Villisca house.
I definitely don't remember off the top of my head. No.
When they say attic, I'm thinking attic, like above everything else. Well, the attic in this house, and probably all the houses of that time, is on the same level of where the parents' bedroom was and where the children's bedroom was on the second floor. So when you think about it, these people were living their lives while this murderer was in this room, if what everyone believes is true is correct. So they all go to bed, and this guy comes out. Well, it's 3 a.m, and this is where we decide to go. So we go to that attic area, and we're not getting any responses whatsoever. And we come back out over to where the parents' bedroom is, and we start a spirit box session, and we get a little provoking with whatever there, because I think we're tired of not hearing anything. And the energy was very heavy, and we knew that there was something there. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the bedroom, and I keep wanting to get a name. And so when you hear it, you're going to hear Greg, and that's nobody in the room saying that, and it's not from the spirit box. And then I say, you know my name, but what is yours? And then I believe very much so you get a name afterwards.
Greg?
What?
Is that my name? You said my name. What is your name?
I heard that.
I heard something, but I didn't hear what it was.
No. Yeah, starts with an S.
Yep. Greg?
What?
Is that my name? You said my name. What is your name?
Oh my gosh.
That sounds like Satan.
Yeah. Now, what I always say is, I know it's not Satan.
Yeah.
You know, I know that that's just, you know, we've done this long enough where we know that it doesn't have to be a demon, but someone who's just wanting to mess with you.
Right.
Just trying to, you know, that's, I am 100% positive that that's what it is. And what happens after that is I kind of lose my temper because I know damn well that it's not. And it's like, don't try to pretend that you're going to scare me because you're not.
Right.
Which that's when I felt like, and this is very honest, that's when it felt like that there was a hand in my heart and started to squeeze it. And I am not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the one of the few times I've been attacked was actually at Villisca.
Huh. It's weird because, like, you hear your name and, like, in between that white noise, I almost hear, like, my name. And then you say,
oh, there was a
what's
lot
your name?
Right there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right at the end. So I'll play that one more time.
Greg?
What?
Is that my name? You said my name. What is your name? I think that part about the name, like, here, I think that was me, actually. I think I said, did you hear my name?
Oh, okay.
If yes, I remember correctly.
Definitely
because,
hear that in there.
Because it's either that or I said, did one of you say my name? Because I heard it. And I'm like, okay, what? And I remember the other three in the room, they're all like, not me. Mm. And it's really bizarre because I felt like from that point, and once again, I hate doing this because it's not about me, but it felt like that whatever was in that house, and I don't think it had actually to do with the house, kind of felt like it was pointed towards me at one point.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like one of the killers or something, you know, they could be like, you know, I'm crazy, I'm Satan.
Yeah.
I think it's something else, and when you want to talk about that, I'm more than willing to, because I think it's a very interesting story, and I actually don't think it's anything really to do with the house.
Oh, okay.
My own opinion, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that now. So again, we're talking about the Villisca house.
Sure, and one of the things that the people I went down there with, they decided to bring some stuff with them, and one of them was this. This haunted doll, and
okay. So stuff didn't mean illegal stuff. Yeah.
No,
wanted to bring some, you know, stuff.
No, sorry, no. I'm not going to get arrested after this show. And I went over to this person's house the week before we went, and she was talking about like because we're trying to figure out how we want our game plan, how we wanted to do everything, and she brought out a doll, and she was like, "This is a good doll. It has a good spirit to him. Oh, that's cool." And then she hands me a doll. And it had those lazy eyes to it, you know, and she's like, "This is the evil one." And I looked down at it and I kid you not, that thing winked at me because it had the lazy eyes.
Oh, God. You know, the ones that depend on how you're turning the dial, they open and close.
Yeah, because they can wink, you know, and stuff. And that could be just an amazingly, wonderfully creepy coincidence. But so... She's like, "We're going to bring this with us." I'm like, "Oh, my God." And at the time, I didn't really know enough to be like, "No, you're not." Because honestly, when you think about it, that's just contaminating the investigation.
Yeah, right. I mean, haunted doll.
Yeah. And I mean, I think ultimately she really wanted to get, she wanted to go after the dark entities. And at the time, you think, "Oh, yeah, what's going to happen? We're going to go after them, whatever, and then we're going to get in our car and we're going to leave." So... We're in this investigation, and we're setting up the doll on this chair, and we put two K2 meters on either side of the doll. I have this on video, which I'm going to – for season two of the web series, we're going to go to Villisca, and then I can actually use a lot of this footage in it. But the K2 meters start going off, and they're in unison. They're absolutely in unison the entire time. And the more that we'd ask questions like, "Can you – just have the right one running and turn off the left one," and it would do that. It would do exactly what we wanted, and it was freaking the hell out of all of us. But what ended up happening is we had a medium with us, and while they're all upstairs doing something, he was trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, "I'm getting this the spirit named Cassandra." And I'm like, "Well, there isn't a Cassandra in this story, if you know the whole Villisca thing." And I said, "Do you think it's possibly the doll?" And he's like, "Yeah, I think it could be." And then he paused and he looks at me and goes, "Don't ever touch that doll again.
Oh, God.
That doll loves your energy."
Oh.
And so cut to later in the night. And after we had this big exchange with that recording that we just played, we retreat downstairs. I mean, that's really what it is. We retreat downstairs. And Justin, the medium, he's just like, "They're angry that we're still together. They don't want us to be together. They want us to break, you know, split up in this house."
Group?
Yes.
Oh, just physically in the house. They don't like
just,
that you're
yeah, not like the Beatles
packs.
Split up. Yeah. and so the leader of the group, she's just like, "I think we should nominate somebody to go up to the attic and hang out there by themselves." And she just looks at me. And I'm like, "I know what you're thinking, and I know you want me to go up there, and there is no effing way I'm going up there by myself."
Finger on my nose first, not it.
Yeah, this is like already way out of bounds. You know, this I went there as an observer, really, because it's their group, and I'm just like, "Ah, cool, I get to go with." And next thing I know, I feel like that this is like, "Greg, you go up there, you get them to get after you." So we eventually, her and I went up there,
guinea
whatever. Yeah, and so, but we leave there the next day, and we're in the car and driving, and I start to fall asleep, and I can't. There's something like in my heart. My heart goes into my stomach almost every time I try to. You just, you know, that despair. that you feel just, it just, I've never felt anything like it. It's like when you lose a loved one or something. It just, but it kept happening. And I told them at the time, I said, I think I might have an attachment. And I said, I'll keep track of it. And so we switched drivers, and I end up driving on the way back. And suddenly we get like one of the tires blow out. And it's like, that's weird. And it's really weird. I mean, it's not impossible, but it was just, you know, with the state of things.
Yeah.
We get back to my car because we all parked in Burnsville, which is the most southern part of the Twin Cities, to drive to Iowa because Iowa's south from us. I get back to my car. I open up the door, and there is the sweetest, most solid smell of perfume I have ever smelt in my life. And it was in my car for about at least a solid day.
Huh.
I don't know what it is. I have never, ever smelt it. And talking to people afterwards, you know, it's like Nicole and other people, they think that that actually might be something that was good for me instead of what I was feeling and stuff, like something that was trying to help me. I just don't know. But it freaked me out because I'm just like already freaked out. And now this car smells like, you know, the strongest smell. And it did not like dissipate throughout my hour drive back home. It just was still stalling. Next day, it's still there. And it's like, what on earth is going on? It was absolutely terrifying. And then, you know, just I was in a funk for probably about 2 months afterwards. And I don't believe it's, you know, for the longest time, I'm like, oh, something from Feliska followed me home. It's that doll. It's that damn doll that, you know, I really do think that. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, after, you know, you start all the stuff we're talking about, how we get ourselves mentally prepared for Spirit Box or our investigation or anything, I started to think to myself, you know, just like started to really meditate on that. I think it's like the answer just came. That's the doll that just stuck with me. And it's one of those feelings. I don't know if you guys ever had an attachment, but it's one of those things that I always say it's like it's outside my house. It's just waiting for me to do something where it's allowed in. It's always on the peripheral.
Huh.
And that's scary.
No, I have one. She just happens to stay in the house.
And she's not like a bad one.
No.
Right.
No, I've had a few like that I think I have, but not from picking up anywhere. I mean, this goes back to like growing up and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was truly a terrifying experience in that sense, because if now I don't think it would be so horrible because I could figure out what it's from and I know how to get rid of it. I know who to talk to help me. But then it was just kind of like, oh boy, you know, what am I going to do?
And who was this weirdo lady that wanted you to bring this demon doll into an axe murder house?
she was the one that just invited me. I mean, she has a group, and I think that her methods of investigating is very different from my methods now, and it's just I just can't allow myself in those situations anymore.
Yeah.
Quite plain and simple.
No.
No. Yeah.
So on that note.
So what was the next one you had as far as the EVPs?
Freddy's name. Strawberry Point.
Gotcha.
There's two. Okay. Freddy's name. Strawberry Point. That was a private residence you did?
It was a private residence. The interesting thing about that is I went down there. My friend Freddie, who I work with at the agency, one of the neatest, funniest people you could ever know. And we went down for some fishing, trout fishing. And I don't fish. I don't really do anything. So it's kind of scary on its own. And he's like, I'll teach you to fish, but maybe we can stay at the Franklin in Strawberry Point. It's an old hotel, kind of like the Palmer. The Palmer is much better than Franklin, but Franklin is, you know, said to be haunted. They have a room that's haunted, whatever. And we can stay there and maybe bring your spirit box and we can see if we get something. I'm like, sure, let's do it. And we go to Strawberry Point. We get there late. We go down to the bar. It's a Friday night. And next thing you know, just out of the blue, we meet somebody who said, you can't spend 5 minutes in my house because it's haunted. And I'm like, I bet I can. And she's a stranger. I'm a stranger to her. And Freddie, you know, he doesn't know anybody. And next thing you know, we're at her house. with our equipment, and we're doing spirit box sessions. And this is one of them. It's just one of those amazing moments that it's like, good luck ever having that happen again. And this first one, there's two Freddy ones. This first one is basically just one of those cool moments where you're introducing, like, you're showing people that, yeah, there is something that comes out of this. And it's like, I have my friend here that's named Freddy. Can you please say Freddy's name? And you go through it, you get the name. And it wasn't until much later that I realized that there's a younger girl in there afterwards that says, cool.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
huh. All right. Let's play that.
The other guy in here is named Freddy. Could you please say Freddy's name to validate that you are listening to us?
That was cool. Well, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
You could definitely hear it right after Freddy.
I love the woman's reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Shannon. She owns the house. And she's just... She's one of those people that's just like, you know, she believes, and she has a lot of stuff happen, but she didn't believe that we could get anything. And so we get there and she's just like, she's just loving it. And, we actually ended up going back. Nicole and I went there in November, to shoot an episode at her house. And it's had a profound effect on me. That what happened and when on our journey back to Strawberry Point, we nearly got into a massive accident because it was snowing. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is they got a huge they got some validation of a family member of theirs that passed away, and I got validation of a family member of mine that passed away.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a very they were getting like. They kept asking me, like, we're not really getting a whole lot here, are we? And I'm just like, are you kidding me? And I named off. There is, like, you know, it's not all spirit box stuff. It's like you walk into an area and suddenly there's a strong cologne smell. Doors were closing and opening. I was touched. There was other things that were falling around. And they're just like, yeah, this isn't a lot of stuff, is it? I'm like, are you kidding me? This is gold. What's wrong with you? I mean, turn off Ghost Adventures. Don't follow that in. We're getting more stuff than they do anyway. I mean,
right?
it was awesome. Yes.
Nice. All five senses plus a sixth sense. Like, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. What a night. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. Right. Is the next one from that same place or no?
Yes, it's just very quickly, someone very enthusiastically saying, Freddy!
Freddy! Freddy! Freddy!
There, see?
Gosh.
That one's actually loud. You don't have to search for that.
Freddy!
Huh, Freddy's there all the time.
They loved him.
They like that name.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well,
and once again, two syllables.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Freddy. Sweet.
Yeah.
So what do you got next?
Go Home Robert.
Oh, that Robert. Is that the Robert you were talking about earlier?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
I heard that.
Sorry, say what you were going to say.
It said it right away. It's a Go Home Robert.
Yeah.
Cool. And what were you going to say? I totally, like, you started talking and I played it.
I was just going to say that this was at the Morris Jamel Mansion in New York. And, you know, this is a great example of how you don't have to be in a dark, creepy room at night to get these things. I was actually outside the front of the house, just doing a spirit box session, looking really cool, as you can imagine, just sitting in the middle of nowhere with a radio that makes funny sounds. Robert, the whole time, was feeling the effects of the house. And he's not one that goes on investigations. We were just out there and we decided to do this. So... he started just kind of wander away, and then we got this, but I didn't hear this until I got home, because I didn't really think we got a whole lot of stuff. And then when I got back to Minneapolis, there's a whole lot of stuff that we got. This is just one of a number of amazing, like, just, one is, I believe it's actually Eliza Jamel herself who owned the house. She's just like, stop it. You know, just very, very pointed, you know, just like that F you pig sort of thing. Just stop it. And it was just, these are just amazing, amazing pieces. And it was really lifted my spirit, because I could hear myself at the end of my recording like, well, I don't know if we got anything. But in fact, we got tons of stuff.
That's awesome. I love it too. Like, the ghost is intuitive. Like, you know what? You don't want to be here. Just go home, Robert. Mm-hmm. Greg's got this.
I'll be honest, though. I think that what was transpiring there is, like, I think that they didn't like his energy, in the sense that they were messing with his energy. And it's, I don't know why, but I mean, he had some pretty profound moments there, where he just kind of was paralyzed in one part of the house until I came by, and he just kind of came out of it. It was really a weird experience. It was weird watching him. I mean, it was a very oppressive feeling at the house, and then suddenly that just went away.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. What's the next one?
Next one is, did you say good?
And this is at another location?
This is at what is called the Old St. Walburga Cemetery in Rogers, Minnesota. It's right by where I live, and it's one of my earliest, from when I started to really record these for the audio investigations and other things. And I know that some people don't like the idea of going to cemeteries to do investigations and stuff. I personally don't have a problem with it, because it's no different than going anywhere else. And even if you don't have a spirit box and you're just visiting, you're still interrupting people there anyway. You know, I think if you're still cool about it to them, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. So towards the investigation, at the end of my day, I stopped getting responses. And I said, if I didn't get any more responses, I would be leaving, to which I thought I heard good. I thought I got the word good. And so this clip starts after I thought they said good, which at that point I said, did you say good? And then you get a response as to the answer to my question. The wind is a little abrasive on this. I didn't understand what, you know, a windsock was for a microphone at that point. So I apologize for that. But I think it comes through pretty well.
All right. We'll be the judge of that.
That's right.
Did you just say good?
Said no?
No. Yep.
Did you just say good?
No. That one, like, sounds all electrical too. Those ones always sound kind of creepy to me.
Definitely a female.
Yeah, I remember when I was going through the evidence, and because I didn't obviously hear it
right
at the location, and I went back and I listened to it, and that's like one of the first major responses I got from when I started to do all this stuff. And I was just, I just remember standing up and just walking around the house for like 2 hours, because I'm just like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, it's just like, this is really good. And it's like, wow, this is neat. So yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorites.
And then the next one is the last one, like, is your favorite. Yes.
It's become my favorite, because it's such an amazing, It really showed what I can do now, and it also shows a good, intelligent response. And so this is at that soap factory in St. Anthony, Maine, very old building, and we were doing this investigation there. So this isn't from an SB7. This is from a Sangine, and we're in a circle, and I felt like there was a dog around, and I felt like I could see it. Like, you know, like we talked about, it's like you don't see it, but you see it, mm-hmm. sort of thing. And it's dark, and you're starting to feel like things are kind of closing in a little bit. And so I just asked if that's somebody's dog, and you get a pretty intelligent response.
This one's really cool. All right.
Is somebody's dog here?
It's pretty dark.
What did he say?
Is that how I play it again?
Is somebody's dog here?
It's pretty dark.
It sounds like that's my dog.
I'm not sure if it's that's my dog. It's definitely sounds like some, like, that's my something.
So he says, is your dog here, or is there a dog here?
Is somebody's dog here?
It's pretty dark.
No, I don't know what that says, to be honest.
Not feeling it?
Really? That's interesting, because to me right away, that's my dog, came to me. And so I, last week on my show, I had Mike Stevenson on, and he's someone who does a lot of audio. Like, he's very scientific with his audio research and stuff for the paranormal investigations they do. He doesn't call himself a paranormal investigator. He calls himself a paranormal researcher. And I sent him this, not for him to dissect, but I sent it to him just because I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. Well, he dissects it, and he pulls it apart, and he strips away everything, and he's like, because I said, it says that's my dog. He's like, I'll be the judge of that sort of thing. And he comes back, and he's like, that's what it says to him, at least, too. It's like, that's my dog. And I was like, that's pretty good. I quite frankly think you're wrong, that you don't understand that. No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah, no, you're probably right. It's just I don't hear the that's. And I think when
I'm hearing frog, not dog.
You definitely hear a response, but I think you need, like, I think having it cleaned up like what he did and maybe slowed down or whatever, you could hear it. I just don't hear the that's.
Really? That's interesting. Mm.
What if it's just like a homie? He's like, that's my dog.
Yeah. Well, now, is he saying D-O-G or D-A-W-G?
That's well, you saying. Brought up a good point. What if he said, that's my frog? I mean, that totally blows everything out the water. Yeah. You know, it's like, it could be anything then. You know? It's not a conversational piece, is it?
It was very clear. It was very good. I do like that one, but I think I still...
You think Greg felt a dog and really there was a frog?
Could have been a frog. I you know, I've seen frogs, toads in cemeteries.
You heard my dog, just not that's.
That's my dog.
That's my log, perhaps.
That's my log. Log. Is there a dog here? My dog, not that.
I hear get out.
Yes.
You know, when in doubt, that's what it says. Get out.
Get out. Go home. That's awesome. Well, you mentioned, so last couple of things before we go. So you said, you know, you're playing something on your podcast. So let's talk about that. You have two shows and a web series. So what are your two shows?
I just have one now. I used to do the audio investigations, which was this very complex audio edit of all this audio stuff to create an investigation that I went through to kind of tell the story. Mm-hmm. And then once the web series came to life, then I dropped that immediately because that's just a lot of work. But then I decided... I wanted to, for some odd reason, keep talking about the paranormal, and I started a show on Live Paranormal back in, I think, March or April of last year. Eventually, I moved over to Para-X and just been doing it. I'm on every other Wednesday. I'm on every Wednesday, but every other week is encore of the previous week. I only do it twice a month with new episodes.
Oh, okay.
And that's why you guys are so further down in March, because it's not every week. Otherwise, you guys would be on much sooner again. But, you know, like next week, I'm going to have a spirit medium, psychic medium, Echo Bodine, and I'm excited to have her on. So, I mean, it's one of those things that just it's fun to talk to people, and I learn a lot about it because there's always room to learn. Yeah. But then I'm doing this web series. I just released a teaser today for it, and we're at five locations. It's just simply we're doing investigation, and this is what we found. This is the story of the place. We're interviewing the people who work there, live there, had experiences there. And just this thing is meant to be short and sweet. Like each episode will probably be 8 to 10 minutes, maybe 8 to 12 minutes. And each location will be broken up into two episodes. We're doing the Palmer House. We're going to that soap factory, this old Polish hall in Minneapolis called the P&A Hall. Then we went out to Kentucky for an old Masonic lodge, which was pretty amazing. And then we ended up in Strawberry Point, and that's season one. And we're getting stuff ready for season two. And it's been so much fun. It's been cool to see people's reactions to it.
So it's kind of like a ghost hunting show, but just like way short, like that format.
My thought is let's get to the goods, right? I mean, that's what people want to see, and I feel like that we get enough of the evidence that we can just focus on it. I mean, Palmer House is going to be a little bit more because, number one, it's a beautiful place. The people have been so kind to show me around, talk to us, and then so we have a lot of that set up. But then it's just Nicole and I. Nicole is really good with reading a room. talking, sensing people, asking questions. She's really amazing with the flashlight, which I've never really been able to do, where it's like you're asking questions and you're getting responses. It's brilliant. And they're dead on. It's not like, oh, it's kind of flickering. I think that's something. It's like, boom, it's happening. I hope that you guys watch when it comes out, and that you either hopefully you guys agree with it, or you know, if not, forget you.
That wasn't a flashlight. That was like a frog.
Now I hear that's my dog. Oh, wait, that's a flashlight.
It's like Morse code of the flashlight saying that's my dog.
That's my dog.
But and then I'm doing spirit box work, and we have each location. We have about anywhere between 5 and 7 cameras set up in different parts of the building at the same time, so that we can cut around, and if there's something interesting, we're able to share it. So I'm hoping, you know, in my head it seems like a great idea. I guess we'll see how it looks when it actually comes out.
And so where is it going to be coming out? YouTube?
It's just going to be YouTube, at least for now. I mean, who knows if someone finds it interesting and want to do something with it, but I think that's a lot of people's dreams with the stuff that they do. So right now we're just like, we're putting on YouTube, and our goal is for people to enjoy it, and that it, you don't have to agree with it. Just maybe it provokes some sort of reaction, you know, a place to converse about it, or, you know, the worst thing that could happen is people watch it and just move on.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's something I watched. Who cares?
And of course, you guys have your own website, so it's mn-ghostbox.org.
That's it. That's us.
Awesome.
And we have a ton of our spirit box evidence on there. It's just a tiny fraction, actually, but we have a ton of stuff that's not part of this web series that people can listen to. And I have old, not all of them, but a portion of some of the old Minnesota Ghost Box radio episodes from Para X, if people are interested in hearing some of the guests, such as like Tim Woolworth. You know, his episode is archived on there. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. How come you went to Para X instead of Live Paranormal?
It's one of those things that it was the first time I ever did anything like this, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I wasn't getting really any help putting it together. And in putting it together, even just like, how do you do this? If I have questions, whatever. It turns out the guy who's running it was going through some medical issues at the time, but the problem was, if he would have said to me, hey, I need to get back to you later, or can we hold on? I there's some stuff that it's making me hard to be able to answer you timely or whatever. That would have been simply the best thing, but just no responses. I couldn't get my show on the air. They have this a different sort of way of getting stuff out live and whatever, and it was confusing to me. Maybe it's not confusing to anyone else, but it was confusing to me, and it just made it so I started to really freak out to do these episodes. Every Wednesday I was getting really, really creeped out to do it, and I had been talking with Para X for a while, and it didn't work out at the first time, but then I went to them like, could you please see if you can make room for me? And Dave over at Para X was just like, yep, we can do it. And I have a producer now, Sarge, who does a lot of the other shows too, and he's just really, really helpful. And it's just one of those things that suddenly it didn't seem like that I was in charge of everything, that I was able to do just focus on guests and stuff, because I felt like I couldn't ask questions or interact because I was so worried about the whole system crashing. And that, like I said, that's, I don't want to say that's a Live Paranormal thing. I'm just saying that that's the reality I was facing.
Right.
So
yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, there's three of us between me, John, and Dan. I mean, there's so much to do.
It is amazing how much it is, and like, you know, we, and because we're live, I do have to stick to a strict hour, but that, I mean, it goes by fast, and just like, you, next thing you know, it's like, I've touched, when I had Mike Stevenson on last week, I had a list of maybe 15 questions I was going to ask him. We didn't get past the first one, because there was just so much information he was giving, and we have a chat room that people are talking and stuff, and it was like, that's really neat. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, it just flies by.
Huh. Well, hopefully our episode will be super awesome, and it'll feel like it flies by, too. So we're going to be talking with you on your show on March 16th.
That's correct.
A Wednesday.
That's absolutely correct, and I am really looking forward to it. You guys are going to be on after I have Bishop Long on, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
From Bobby Mack?
Bishop James Long was on... He was the witch. He don't know. He was on Ghost Adventures a few times, and then he was also on this Exorcism Live on Destination America recently.
I just saw him on something. I think it was one of those two, because we've done the season of Bell Witch episode and Bobby Mackey's, and I think that guy.
He's on Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah, okay, that's why I know the name then. Yeah.
He says something that's always stuck with me, and that's evil is patient. And that's always stuck with me. Evil is patient.
Like,
you don't.
I recognize that quote.
Yeah. You don't. If you're thinking something's going to happen to you because you think you might have been hit by it, it's like, just because you think it's going to happen now doesn't mean it will. It's patient. It'll wait.
Ugh. Cool. Well, let's leave it on a creepy note. Greg Bakken, Minnesota Ghost Box. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all these EVPs. We love these interactive shows, so.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. It was fun.
It was nice talking.
All right. I'll catch up with you soon.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's been another episode of Dead Tribe Paranormal. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. After you're done, please listen to our other podcast, Rock Stories. In this series, we meet with music artists and bands that are out there keeping the scene alive. We capture and share their stories with you, the fans, and use their music as a soundtrack. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, the show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage.